Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
And our Father, we thank you today for your blessings, for all that you've done for us in our lives. And I ask now, Father, your blessing and your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. For we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. As we begin the program today, I do want to give a special prayer request. I would just like to ask prayer for Dan Bedingfield. Dan is the organist who opens and closes the broadcast each week. And he's having some serious health problems, and I would appreciate your prayers for Dan as he needs healing in his physical body. The word passion. What do you think about when you think about passion? Well, a lot of people think probably, I have to be honest, in a sexual nature that it comes into play. But it does have some other definitions other than the sexual aspect of it. It's a word that's only used one time in the King James Version of the Bible, and that's in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "To whom also he showeth himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now, in the word passion used there, if you go back to the Greek word that was used in a lot of translations, will use either after his crucifixion or after his suffering took place rather than the word passion. And I know a number of years ago, a very popular movie at the time was The Passion of the Christ. And it could have been titled The Suffering of the Christ. And I know as I watched the movie and saw others around me watch the movie, you could see tears being shed as people's emotions were being vented there as they were watching these very emotional scenes leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The dictionary says the word passion is any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling as love or hate. You can be passionate about love, and you can be just as passionate about hate. Another online dictionary says emotion, his ruling passion is greed, for example. That's an emotion. Passions, plural, the emotions is distinguished from the reasonable study of the passions. Intense driving or overmastering feeling or conviction. Your passion can be a conviction as well. Passionate, another word that we're familiar with, having compelled by or ruled by intense emotion or strong feelings. Fervid, as an example, a passionate advocate of socialism. And by the way, socialism, I was kind of surprised to find that used as the example when I looked it up. But we're finding here in the United States of America, as well as some other countries of the world, where there are more and more advocates of socialism, a system which, by the way, has already been proven time and time again not to work. My example to give you that is look at Venezuela today. It's socialistic, and it's failing, it's falling. The people are hungry, they're lacking supplies. Passion is taking place there because of what is taking place in their country. Passion is also capable of affecting by or expressing intense feeling. Everyone exhibits that emotion at one time or another. I want you to think about that. We all exhibit intense emotion at various times. It can be about various things. It doesn't have to be just one thing in our life that causes us to be passionate. A good example I was thinking about of people being passionate, especially here in America, is the passion that people have for sporting events. in particular football. We also have it for baseball. We have it now for hockey and for soccer and several other. And you find the people that follow these sports, in many cases, are very, very passionate about the sport that they are following. My two grandsons, for example, play hockey, and they're all into hockey. And they're very passionate about it when they play. And time back, they used to be passionate about football. And I can remember my oldest grandson, who happens, to, by the way, to be the announcer on this program. He was just a little boy, and I made some mention about the Titans football team, and I said, they're a bunch of sissies. And he was like 3 years old, and man, he was ready to take me on because I had insulted the Titans. He was passionate about the Titans. And I'm sure, of course, that you can think of many other things that people are passionate about. Many people are passionate about their jobs. They're passionate about the work they do. Maybe they're passionate about art. Maybe they're passionate about drama. Maybe they're passionate about working on wood, doing wood cuttings or doing wood carvings or whatever. It's the thing that makes them and gives them purpose many times is their passion, their driving force. And as I said, I'm sure that you can probably think of many other things that people are passionate about, some that even you yourself are passionate about in your own life. And passion has a place, believe it or not, in church. Passion has a place in Christianity. But unfortunately, sometimes our passions get misdirected. Sometimes our passions are directed in the wrong direction. The other night, my wife and I were watching a program on TV. We just happened to turn it on. It was probably halfway through at the time, and we were planning to watch the program that was coming on right after that. And a preacher that I couldn't remember his name at the time was on there, and he was talking about, send us money, send us money. And he never, ever, and I thought this strange, never, ever said who we were sending the money to or for. And I did notice then, finally, every once in a while at the bottom of a screen, a name would pop up with a phone number and a mailing address. And I thought, he's not even telling us who he's raising the money for, what he's raising it for. He was very dramatic in his presentation of requesting this money be sent, telling you that if you sent $300 today, right now, as he's getting ready to pray, God is going to bless you immensely. And I'm sure that people were going to their phones and picking up the phone and dialing that phone number that was on the screen. But I also thought to myself, he could use that same program over again and put somebody else's name at the bottom of the screen and do exactly the same thing. It'd be exactly the same program that he was using. The thing is, where is our passion directed today? After the program, my wife and I discussed the passion that he had for this, but was it misdirected? And where is passion in the church today? We watched another program, which came on a short time after that, and the preacher that was preaching was very passionate in his presentation. In fact, a passion that I hadn't seen exhibited in church in quite some time. And quite honestly, I'll have to be quite frank with you, I haven't been in a service here in Middle Tennessee in the last while that there's been the passion that that particular minister was exhibiting as he presented his message at a conference that took place a couple of months back. And he had a passion for what he was talking about. And I realize that we see some ministries on TV today that the minister has a passion for the word that he's delivering. He has a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has a passion for what he's doing. But is there really passion in the pulpit today as a whole in the church? Is there passion in the pew today? Sometimes we think it's got to all be in the pulpit. Sometimes we put it all upon, all of the burden upon the minister's back or the pastor's back, but the burden also belongs upon those who are sitting in the pews. If we have passion in the pews, we'll have passion in the pulpit. As a child, I remember going to church and hearing pastors and evangelists preach with a passion, with a fervor, and with folks feeling conviction. They used to talk about that they would get up and preach, and they would preach hell was hot, and there was all the things about that, and I'll tell you, you begin to sweat almost as they were preaching how hot hell was. But where's the passion today? Singers who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket would sing a song. And the anointing that came forth from their passion that they put into that song, we would begin to feel it in our hearts and life. And it didn't matter that they were off key. It didn't matter that they sounded actually horrible in the ears of man. But in the ears of God, they were singing a beautiful song. They were singing a song to Him. And we had the passion for what they were doing. It would make some feel convicted. It would make others feel extremely blessed. But the passion today, it's not there. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. It's not passion. Where is it today? The days when they preached, as I said, hell is hot and heaven is glorious. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Where do we hear that these days? Not very often. Not very often. There was passion and conviction in the preaching. And as I said, you could go in a sinner and get under so much conviction, you'd come out a saint, a child of God. I've read and heard of some of the preachers of the past that had such passion for the gospel that when they came into town, sinners would cry out to God, healings would take place, and deliverance would take place, and dens of iniquity would close. An example was Billy Sunday, who figured prominently in the early 20th century. He made this statement, "Whiskey and beer are all right in their place, but their place is in hell." And he was prominently in, as I said, in the early 20th century prohibition movement. And liquor sellers often closed down when he came to town. The bars closed when Billy Sunday came to town. Now let me tell you a little bit about Billy Sunday and compare him then in your own thoughts and minds to some of the preachers of today. It says, shortly after being saved through the outreach of Pacific Gardens Mission in Chicago, Billy Sunday, who was a professional ball player, turned down a $400 per month baseball salary. Now, I know that doesn't sound a whole lot right now. You think that $400 a week is not even very much. But at the time, the average worker made $480 a year. Think about that. $480 a year. And he turned down this salary for an $84 a month ministry position. Boy, how many preachers would do that today? I wonder. I really wonder how many would do that. Ball teams later offered him $500 a month and even $2,000 a month. But Billy Sunday remained committed to his ministry for God. And later in life, he was offered $1 million. Now think, this was the early 20th century. $1 million was a lot of money. It's probably about the equivalent of closer to $1 billion today. He was offered $1 million to be in the movies, but he again declined in order to continue the evangelistic ministry that God had called him to. He wasn't in it for the money, folks. He was in it for the souls. He was in it for the calling that God had put on his life. He was in it for the passion that was driving him through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the passion that we need in our lives and in our hearts today as Christians, is to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives and direct our lives and let that passion flow through us for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Years ago, a ministry that we were connected with in South America, we provided them with a video projector because they had a vision of taking the gospel into the jungles of South America and presenting the gospel. And of course, showing a movie was going to bring out the crowd. It'd bring out the whole town. And so they would do that. They'd show a Christian film, and then they would preach the gospel. And they went into this one particular village. They were going to show the film to get people to come out and then preach the gospel. But the problem was, there was no electricity in the village except for one place. The village had a bar. And the bar had electricity. So he went in and he talked to the owner of the bar, and the owner of the bar agreed to let him run an extension cord in and plug the video projector into the electricity there in the bar. Well, the movie was shown, the gospel was preached, an altar call was given, and if I remember correctly, everyone in the crowd came forward and gave their heart to Jesus Christ, including the owner of the bar. And he said, "Well, I guess I got to find another business," and closed the bar down. But where is that passion today? Today the church can go into a bar and they'll come out drunk. Instead of the bar being closed down, they'll hold church in the bar. What's happening, folks? How did we get here? How did we get into this place? How did we get to where we're at now? I turned into a program on TV the other day, and as I said, we were watching this program, and preacher was talking about money, sending money to the ministry, and that seems to be where it's at today. The passion seems to be for how much money you can make, how much money you can get people to send you, how much money, how big a jet you've got, how big of this or how big of that, how many cars you've got in your garage. Friend, we're going in the wrong direction. And to top it off, they teach that the only way God can bless you is if you send them money. That's not in the Bible, folks. It's not there. They didn't preach one word about salvation as I was watching this the other day. Not one word about healing. Not one word about deliverance. Not one word about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Not one word of how to live a good Christian life. Just send me money. Just send me money. Saw another program. He began to talk about seed faith, and probably everybody that's listening to me has heard of seed faith. Been around for a long time. And the one preacher said, yes, there are various types of seeds that you can sow. And that's true. Each of us can sow our own types of seed, and it's not always finance. It's not always money. And he admitted that. But he said, but I want to talk about money today. And that's where it seems to go, is it doesn't matter that you can sow other types of seed. It's only if you're sowing that seed of money, and only if you're sowing it in their ministry. Today, the pulpit has become the podium for the motivational speaker. And I'll have to admit, some of these preachers on TV are really, really good motivational speakers. And I could support them 100% in what they're doing if they would say, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a motivational speaker. Be honest about it. There's a big difference between a motivational speaker and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus asks you to do sometimes isn't going to always go over well for you. All you got to do is read the New Testament to find that out. And if you think that once you become a Christian and you follow what some of these guys are saying, everything is going to be hunky-dory, then you're in the wrong place, folks. As I say, you're barking up the wrong tree, because it's not going to happen that way. All you got to do is read the Bible. Read what happened to the apostles. Read what happened to the disciples. Read what happened to other followers of Jesus Christ. Read it in the Bible. Read it in history. What happened to them? They had a passion for what they were doing. I want to tell you this. You can feel good about yourself right up to your last breath. But if you're not saved, you're going to be feeling worse than that. You're going to be feeling worse than horrible throughout all of eternity. Yes, as Christians, sometimes we endure hardships, some more than others. You have to be honest. Some go through more hardships than others. Some go through more hardships just because of where they live. Christians living in some of the countries of the world today endure hardships that we living in America can't imagine. But God is with them. Paul, writing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, said, and he's the most documented of all the apostles here, he said, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me. Man, he went through persecutions, afflictions, all kinds of stuff. But the thing is, he said, out of them all, the Lord delivered them. And I know right now somebody's thinking, yeah, but Paul ended up being executed finally for the faith. That's true. That's true. And there are Christians today that their life is put on the line. They're being executed for their belief in Jesus Christ. It's happening today around the world. And believe me, it could happen here in America in the not too distant future if we aren't careful. But Paul said, out of them the Lord delivered me. Another one that's not in my notes here, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'll tell you, when that thing happens to you, you're gone to meet Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, Paul also told us in chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. This is what the Apostle Paul, who was probably one of the greatest evangelists in the New Testament era, he was in the New Testament era, and even today, with what he had to do with, and the places he could go, the one of the greatest still. And he went through all of this. Don't think that we won't go through some of it as well, because we will. It may be in different forms, it may be in different ways, but we will. And if anybody tries to tell you just because you send them so much money, everything's going to be hunky-dory, folks, they're lying to you. A passion. In Philippians, Paul also writes, chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now I want to stop here and think about it a moment. Paul, as he's writing, much of what he wrote from either house arrest or in a jail cell. Doesn't sound like the life a lot of Christians are living today. But he held on. He said, I'm going through it all, but my faith is in Jesus Christ, and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pushing on. In Matthew, Jesus said these words, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Because you see, if you're passionate about God and about serving God, the world is not going to be in love with you. Let me say that again. If you are serving God and you're passionate about your relationship with Jesus Christ, the world is not going to be in love with you. And we're finding that more and more prevalent here in America even today, which is supposed to be the most Christian country in the entire world. And yes, we were founded as a Christian country. We were founded as a Christian nation. But today, the people of this country are falling away. The leaders of this country are falling away. And we are drifting away from the things of God. And we are turning our back on God. Our passion is being directed in other directions. We're being taken other routes. You want to be saved? You got to endure. Hear that? You've got to endure to the end. James chapter 1 verse 12 said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If we endure in our relationship, our passion about Jesus Christ, we shall receive that crown of life. Now, the Bible talks about several different crowns that those who believe, that when we get to heaven, will be given. Not everyone will be given the same amount of crowns. Some more than others. Some will get crowns that we won't even realize that they're deserving of till we find out the facts. Because there's some people that are passionate about God, but they're not out in the public's eye. And they're doing things behind the scenes to get the gospel of Jesus Christ spread around the world. And they'll receive crowns that we didn't even realize they were going to get. I've also got some news for you. There's going to be some that we'll think are going to get big crowns, and they're going to get nothing because they got it all here. They got the reward here. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which God has promised to them that love him. Folks, if we're born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we need to be passionate about what we do for God. But I look around in the church world today, and I don't see the passion as a whole. I don't see it in the pulpit. I don't see it in the pew. There was a time when we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, two or three nights a week. Sometimes we'd be in revivals for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, and sometimes longer than that, because we had a passion and we would go to church every night. We'd be there till midnight, and we'd go home and go to bed and get up the next morning and go to work, because there was a passion in our life for Jesus Christ. But where is the passion today? God hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. Where is the passion? Where is it at? We need to get that passion revived. We need to have a little counseling session with Jesus Christ. Get our passion restored. Get our passion built back up. Get our passion acting out. Letting people know that we're in love with Jesus Christ. And that we are a child of God, that we're part of the bride of Christ, and that one of these days he's coming back for his bride, and it's coming sooner than most people think. No, I don't know when, I just know that it's going to be in the not too distant future. There are things that I can't get into right now because we don't have the time, but there are things, there are signs on the horizon, there are signs right now that are showing us it's at hand. And we need to be passionate about letting the lost know about Jesus Christ. Because those who are lost at the time of the rapture of the church out of this world will most likely never make it. Because as they go into the tribulation period, they'll go along with what the world wants them to go along with. Sheep being led to the slaughter. Ah, but there's one way to avoid that, and that's have Jesus Christ in your heart right now. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and maybe what I've had to say has touched your life today, and you say, yeah, I've heard about, I've seen about, or something about the passion, I've heard about the way it used to be in church. It can be that way again in your life anyway. If you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, won't you do it today? It's so simple. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I don't care if you're a big sinner, a little sinner, whatever. I don't care if you've never done anything morally wrong in your life. You're still a sinner, and you still need Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I ask you to forgive me of my sin. come into my heart and life today. Cleanse me with your precious blood, I pray, in Jesus' name. And if you've done that today, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, please let us know. The announcer is going to tell you how to let us know in just a moment. And by the way, we're not going to hound you for money. We're not going to get on here and say, now that you've done this, send us money. No, I'm not going to say that. I just want to know that you got saved. That's all I care about. Won't you do it today? Father, I thank you for your blessings. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. For I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.